Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Daled. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Jerry Pinsky and Ili Lishmas Tilly Beer Hayatoba Bas Eliezer. All the shows we learn for should have an aliyah from all learning. Okay, we begin at the very top, Lamed Daled Amalek, the very first words. We're in the middle of a discussion about how Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden. And we're going to, as I mentioned, learn today about the unbelievable miracle that occurred with Kriyas Yarden. We're much more familiar with Kriyas Yamsuf, but the Kriyas Yarden was also a phenomenal miracle. So, the Gemara begins, very first word, Lamed Daled Amad Aleph. The Kivin Shnitbulu Ragle Kohanim B'mayim. We said yesterday that the Kohanim were carrying the Aron, and as soon as the feet of the Kohanim carrying the Aron entered into the Yarden, and the water stopped flowing downstream, and instead, to allow a dry path for the Klal Yisrael to enter across the Yarden, started to flow upwards towards the Shemayim. And this is based upon the following pasuk from Yeshua, where it says, "Ukivo nosei aaron ad haYarden v'gomer." When they entered into the Yarden, those Kohanim that were carrying the Aron, and the pasuk continues, "V'ragle haKohanim nosei aaron nitbelu b'ktzei haMoim," as they just entered into the tips of the waters of the Yarden, "Mali alkol gidosov kol yimei kotzir." It rose up to Shemayim. We'll have a machlokis in a moment as to how high it went up. And that's the Gemara now saying, "V'kama govan Shemayim," how high did it go up? So the first opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, was, "V'kama govan Shemayim," how high did the water goes up towards Shemayim? It didn't flow downstream, it just went straight up. It made a right turn and went up. Shneim osor mil. Now the gears that we have is al shneim osor mil, but Rashi doesn't have the 12 mil by 12 mil. A mil is again about a kilometer, so this is 12 kilometers roughly by 12 kilometers. Rashi just has the gears that went straight up 12 kilometers because it didn't have the width of 12 kilometers. It had the width of the yarden, and it didn't have the thickness, if you wish, of 12 kilometers, of 12 mil. So Rashi deletes the words Eser mil, shtemos or mil, al shtemos or mil. And he just says, it's shtemos or mil. It went straight up, kineged machli Yisrael. Where do we get this number from? That's kineged, the width of the campment of the Klal Yisrael, which was 12 mil in width. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that the waters started to flow upwards, and therefore there was a space, a empty, open space in the Yarden that Klal Yisrael could go through. All the waters that were already beyond that, they kept them flowing downstream, and since no new waters entered from upstream to downstream, so there suddenly was a bare area with no water in it, because the water kept on rising towards Shemayim. And according to Yehuda, it went up 12 mil, a phenomenal amount. On the other hand, Amar Elazar Rav Shimon, Elazar Rav Shimon disagreed with him, and he said, according to you, Lidvarecha, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Kal, Omayim Kalim, who goes faster, a person walking or waters flowing? So if it's according to you that the waters and the people walk at the same speed, we understand why it took 12 mil of Klal Yisrael to go across. That was the encampment, and therefore the waters are going to flow up at the same speed, 12 mil towards the sky. However, most people would say that the water is much swifter than the people. So when I'm asking you, Adam Kal or Mayim Kalim, which flows faster, the people or the water? Have you Mayim Kalim? The water flows much faster. So in the period of time that it takes people to walk 12 mil, so the water should go up much higher than 12 mil. Imkein, boy, in Mayim, Vishotin or some. Otherwise, the water would go and fall over on the people. After it went up 12 mil, there would be still people in the Yarden, but the water would then stop flowing up and it would flow down. And then it would be Shotef, it would wash away all the people that were still in the Yarden. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon says, in fact, the waters kept on going higher and higher, keep it, Agabi, keep him, wave upon wave. Yes, sir, Mishlosh Miosmil, and it flowed up to a height of 300 plus mil. 300 kilometers the water flowed up towards Shemayim. Ashiroson Komachi Mizrach Umar, and this was such a phenomenal sight. A 300 kilometer wave of water going straight up to Shemayim, that all the kings in the east and the west were able to see this, and boy, oh boy, were they terrified. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Vahi kishmo komachei ha'amuri asher be'ever yarden yama v'komachei aknani asher ala yam." When all the local kings were able to see this water actually going up, "Es shehovis Hashem esmei yarden b'bnei bnei Yisrael," that they saw that God dried up the Yarden in front of the bnei Yisrael until they passed through Adabram, "Vayimas levavam," they got terrified. Their hearts were fearful. And they had no further courage. There's no further ability, so to say, to be able to fight the Klai Yisrael. That's the whole pasuk. We had the girsa v'loyo bahem od ruach, but the real girsa is v'loyo bom od ruach b'nei b'nei Yisrael. And this is alluded to with Rachav Azona. Rachav Azona ultimately married Yoshua bin Nun, but Rachav Azona, in the simple understanding of the word, while there is a Rashi that says it meant an innkeeper, the simple understanding of the word was that she was a woman of ill repute. She was a Zona. So Rachav Hazona doesn't mean the one who supported people with food. It meant the one who, Nebuch, was a woman of ill repute. And therefore, she told the Lishluchi Yeshua, she told Kalev, and she told Pinchas, who had come to spy out Yericho, she had told them, Kishamanu, Esa Shehovis Hashem Esme Yamsuf Agomer. We had heard about how the Yamsuf miracle had occurred. And in fact, the Midrashim point out that everybody saw the Yam Suf split because all the waters of the world, if you're in a bathtub at the time of Yam Suf, so the water is in the bathtub split. If you're drinking a glass of water, the water in the cup split. So everybody across the world saw the Kriyas Yam Suf miracle. So when they all saw that, they were all terrified of Klai Yisrael entering into Canaan, and therefore it says that the Vayimas Levavam, their hearts were totally melted away, and they had no longer Ruach Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. They had no longer a strength, a spirit within them. And Rachav Hazona would know, the Midrashim say, that the people weren't able to go and have tashmish with her. They were impotent because of this fear that they had. And furthermore, Ksiv, Vanishma, Vayimas, Lo'avenu, Lo'kama, Od, Begomer. And it further says in Yoshua that all the people had no more spirit in them. And that's the end of the pasuk, that they had absolutely no ability to go and fight any longer with Klai Yisrael. So therefore, they had inability to go and have tashmish even with a Zona. That's how dispirited they became. And just like this happened by Kriyas Yamsuf, so too, wow, when they saw the actual miracle of the Yarden, the Kriyas Yarden, so the same thing happened again. Furthermore, the Brisa continues and says, Odin b'yarden, while they were still within the Yarden, in the dry Yarden, with the waters flowing upwards, Amalem Yeshua, Yeshua tells them the following. You should know, Klai Yisrael. Why is Hashem making these days? Amoatem ovrim es hayardin. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu making such a miracle for you? And that is because al minas, it is solely for the purpose, shetorishu es yoshvei ha'aretz mi pineichem, that you should go and get rid of all of the people that are living in this land, all of the Shiva Umamos, the seven nations that are living in this land, you should drive them out of the land. Shetorishu es yoshvei ha'aretz mi pineichem, and then the Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'horashtem es kol yoshvei ha'aretz mipneichem v'gomer. That's what the Pasuk tells us. And the words of Yoshua continue, Im atem osin kei mutav. If you do this, great, and you will inherit the land. But if lav, if you don't do this, then bo'en mayim v'shotem nosichem. Then the waters will come back and go and drown you. Now, what's this funny lashon of v'shoftin osichem, that you will be judged, osichem, my osichem? So the Gemara says it means Osi V'Yeshem. Not only will you be judged, Yoshua said, but I will be judged for not being able to lead you into Eretz Yisrael if you don't accept all of this. Tosus brings down the Yerushalmi that Klai Yisrael accepted. Yoshua told them, you have to accept everything. Klubu Aleim Es Hanistoros. You have to go and accept everything that Hashem openly gives you and everything that Hashem tells you in a more hidden way. And Amal and Yeshua told them, Im Einatem Mekablim Es Hanistoros. If you don't accept all the secrets over here that Hashem will insist that you follow, Hamayim Boim Vishot V'Nishem, then the water will come and drown you. And Amar Rabbi Simon, Rebbe Zvid, V'yoz Teidan, you should know for sure, Shehu Kain, this will happen. Shari Ochon Chota, Achan sinned when he took the booty from Yericho. V'ruv Mishal Sanhedrin Nofla. And a majority of the Sanhedrin, because it says 36 people were killed in the Ai, and that was Kenegi, the 36th majority of the Sanhedrin. Others say that it was Yar bin Menashe who died, and he was like the Kenegi, the 36 people of the Sanhedrin. So in any event, you will all be punished, and I will be punished. The Sanhedrin will be punished on your behalf if you don't accept all of these conditions. The Brisa continues and tells them furthermore, Odom the Yarden, Amalei Yeshua. Yeshua tells them furthermore when they're in the Yarden, Harimu lachem ish evan achas al shichmo lemispar shifte b'nei Yisrael. Go and pick up over here stones from inside of the Yardin and go and take one stone per shevet. So there were 12 men assigned to go and pick up each a big boulder. And uksiv, and it says right after that, now this is continuation of the pasuk, so the word uksiv is not listed by everybody, because some just say it's the next word in the next pasuk, so you don't need uksiv. Others would suggest, no, uksiv is because it's a separate pasuk, so it says uksiv. And it says in the next pasuk, l'man tiazos os bikir b'chem, this should be a sign for you that I made this miracle of Kriyas Yarden. Ki yishalum b'neichem mocher leimar, when your children will ask in the future, ma'avani ma'elu lechem v'gomer, what happened over here that you have these stones? What does that represent? And you'll tell them that it represented the huge miracle that Hashem did, Kriyas Yarden. Now, simin levonim sh'avru avos es yarden, this will be a simin to the children that your forefathers went and crossed the Yarden in a miraculous way. Furthermore, Odom the Yardain, Amon Yeshua, while they were still in the Yardain, Yeshua told them, after they put the first rocks down there, they were told to take second rocks from over there, and Sulacha Mizem, Mitocha Yardain, go and take these rocks out of the Yardain, Mimatza Raglei Kohanim, from the place where the feet of the Kohanim were, Hochin Shteim Esrei Avonim, go and take these 12 stones, Vavartim Osam Imochim, and take them when you across the Yardain, Vinachtim Osam Bimolon, Asher Tolino Bo, Halaila, Vigomer, and go and put them in the place where you'll be lodging that night, meaning in Gilgal, which will be their permanent lodging place for the next 14 years of the conquering of the land, the Kibush, and of the division of the land, the Chiluk. So that's where the Mishkan would be in Gilgal for 14 years, and that's where those rocks were to be permanently placed. Now, Yochol B'chol Molom and Olam, you might think that every time they travel, they were supposed to go and bring these rocks with them. So it says specifically, no, Talmud Loma, Asher Tolinu Bo Halayla. That night, where you'll be going, after you cross the Yardin, that's where these rocks will be permanently implanted. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda the Tanna said, now others have the gear said, Mesor Sashas says that this should be Rabbi Yossi, because he's talking about the following three people, Abba Chalafta, and it was Yossi ben Chalafta. So Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbi Yehuda, who is saying this, and it should be therefore Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Abba Chalafta, my holy father Chalafta, Rabbi Eliezer ben Masya, and the Hananya ben Chachinoy, these three great Tanoim, Omdu alosan avam, they actually saw these stones and how large they were. Vishirum, and they measured them out, Kolachas Yachas Shekula ki arboim saw, and each of them was the volume of 40 saw. That's a very large area. That's the size of a mikvah. So each of these stones was the size of a kosher mikvah. And they were very, very heavy. Ugamiri, we have a Kabbalah, we have a tradition, the tu'una, the madli inish lekasve, tilsa the tu'une hove, that a person who can free lift up a certain amount of weight, so if other people help him get that weight on his shoulder, he can carry an additional two times as much. So you can lift up on your own a third of the total weight that you can carry if you have other people loading it up upon you. So therefore, these boulders, mistama, other people helped them carry them, and that's what they were carrying, a huge amount of weight, which would be the equivalent of 120 saw, because 40 they could lift up on their own, and they could carry 120 saw if other people helped them. And therefore, we see from here, Mikanatu Machashiv LaEshkol. From here, we see how strong the Meraglim were who came into Eretz Yisrael, and how big the produce were, and how they brought back, they were supposed to bring back good tidings of Eretz Yisrael, and they made it sound like we're bringing back good tidings, but they, in fact, were ultimately going to be telling Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. So they carried the Eshkol, the grapes, the cluster of grapes, as we'll see in the following Gemara. It took 8 people carrying this one cluster of grapes, and we see that each person can carry 120 saws worth, so it's going to be 8 times 120, 960 saws worth of grapes was one cluster, which is a huge amount, and it took 8 men to carry them, as we'll see in the Psukim. Eshenemar, because the Psukim tell us, Vayisa'uhu bamot bishnoyim, they had to carry them in some sort of a pole with 2 people. Now, Mimashu Eshenemar bamot, when it tells us they had to have people carrying it with a moat, so you need 2 people to carry him out. So what are you telling me, Bishnoyim? What's the purpose of adding the seemingly unnecessary words, Bishnoyim? So the Gemara says that, Eni Odeyash Bishnoyim, when it tells me that they were carried, meaning with 2 people, on a pole, so don't I know that that's 2 people? Why does it tell me, Matam Alom Bishnoyim? That seems to be unnecessary and extra. Oh, so the answer is that it's not. It meant Bishnei Motos, that the people carried 2 motos. And Amar Rav Yitzchak, this is 2 sets of 2 motos. Turtani, the Turtani, the Turtani. As Rashi tells us over here, Masui, Umasui tachas masui. They carried a load, and then they had underneath it shetachtonim misainim esol yonim. So you can see in the art scroll there are several pictures, and actually there's a picture that's supposed to be in our Gemara's in the Tosfos Shatz. If you look about 10 or 15 lines up in the bottom of the Tosfos Shatz, there's actually a statement that says that this motos kimin daf sholechas mizeh lezeh. And then there's the word kazeh. There's a picture missing from many of the versions of the Gemara that we have. But if you look in other versions, such as the Oz V'Hadar Gemara, so they have a picture here, according to the Tosfos Shatz, that basically is a rectangle, which is four poles, and the cluster of grapes hanging from those four poles. So the Tosfos Shatz has the idea that there were two sets of two poles. Whereas others, according to Rashi, it looks like there were, again, two sets of two poles that were in a different way, not in a rectangle, but you had two going from left to right, and then you had two going in an X sort of a fashion, so there were a total of four poles that needed to be carried by eight people. And there's another picture there from Tosos that brings down the Rabbeinu Chananel what it looked like. But in any event, everybody agrees that there were four poles over here, two sets of two poles, either like Rashi, like the Rebbeinu Chananel, or like the Tosfos Shatz. And the bottom line is that it took eight men to co-carry this cluster of grapes. So what happened to the other Meraglim? So Haketzah, the Gemara says, Shmon and Nosu Eshkol, eight of the Meraglim carried this cluster of grapes. Echad Nosu Rimon, one of them had to carry the one Rimon that they took back. The Echad Nosu Te'ena, and one of them took the one fig that they brought back. So that's 10 of the men. And Yeshuva Kalev, Lonosu Klum. Yeshuva and Kalev, they didn't carry anything. And two reasons the Gemara gives why they didn't carry anything. So the first reason is, Ibaisema Mishum de Chashive. They were the most important of the Meraglim. And it was pasnish for them to go and lower themselves, so to say, to go carry something. So the simple teretz is that the less important 10 other Meraglim, they carried back, because technically there was nothing wrong in showing, look how great Eretz Yisrael is. Look at the abundance of the growth of the fruit, that eight people have to carry a single cluster of grapes, and one person had to carry a fig, and one person had to carry a pomegranate. So, wow, look at the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, there was nothing wrong with Yoshua and Kalev not carrying it, but just below their dignity. Let the other 10 people, they didn't need any more than 10, so let the most 10 inferior people, and not the two most important people, Kalev and Yoshua, go and carry any of the fruit. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two might be more pleasing in some ways, v'yiboyisema shloyibosa eitza. As Rashi points out, they had nothing to do with this. They knew that while bringing back the fruits to show the bounty of Eretz Yisrael was a good idea, they knew that the Meraglim were going to use it in a negative way. And therefore, lahavi eshkol mishuna kazeh, such a huge cluster of grapes, kazeh, like this, shemeraglim l'roh niskavno. They were planning to say, wow, this is Eretz Ochlel Yoshvel. Look at the giants that eat these fruits over here. They are going to be too strong for us to go and attack them and to win. So therefore, Kalev and Yeshua had nothing to do. They said, we want nothing to do with the bringing back of these fruits to demonstrate that Eretz Yisrael can't be attacked because it's so great. The giants that are living there are so great. Eretz Ocheles Yoshivel. Then we have a machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha as to what was the source of the machlokas that we had previously between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon as to how high the waters of the Yarden flowed. Was it 12 mil or was it 300 mil? So Pligam Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, two possibilities over here. One of them said that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is as follows. Chademar Letivri Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we turn to Lamed Daled Amid Beis. The argument was 12 mil was kichaniyosun avru, that they crossed all together at the same time. So it took the camp of 12 mil to cross the amount of time that it takes the water to flow 12 mil. It took them, they walked at the same pace as the water, and it took them the amount of time it takes to walk 12 mil, and that's the water flew up to a height of 12 mil. That's what one of them said, and Ladivri Rabbi Shimon, he held bezachazelru. They didn't cross as an encampment of 12 mil across, they went one by one, and therefore the waters flowed up to a height of 300 mil. The other one of these two mandiomas, v'charamar, no, bein maru, bein mar, kichaniyos and avru. They both agreed that they traveled as an encampment, not one after the other, but they traveled as an encampment of 12 mil. But Myersova Adam Kal, Rabbi Yehuda said that the people walked just as fast as the water flowed, and therefore it only went up 12 mil. And Myersova, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon said, Mayim Kalim, the water flowed much faster, and therefore it was able to reach a height of 300 mil in the amount of time that it took the encampment of Klaisol to walk 12 mil, or the encampment across the Yarden. Then we dashed, since we started dashing about the Meraglim, we dashed a little bit more about the Meraglim. The famous pasuk at the beginning of Parsha Shlach Lecha says, Akosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you send men. I don't think men need to go. I don't think we need to have spies. But if you want, you can send men. So Amar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish says about this pasuk, Shalach Lecha, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you send for yourself, meaning Midatcha. I don't think it's necessary. I'm telling you the land is great. Why in the world would you want to send spies? But no, if you want to send spies, that is your prerogative. Not what I want, not what I think is necessary, but I will let you send them. Otherwise, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu would not have sent them if Hashem didn't give him permission to, but Hashem, so to say, was disappointed in Moshe Rabbeinu. So obviously, why did Moshe Rabbeinu send spies? Would Moshe Rabbeinu have done something bad for himself by going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command it, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu do this? So, the Tosu Shans brings down a beautiful answer. This is about 10 lines down into the Tosu Shans. So he says, not in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. And he thinks that's a famous Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah Mefarish, Sha'af Be'enei Moshe Lo Heitiv. Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't want to send spies. Then why did he? Listen to this. Marshal Adam Ha'omel Chaveiro. This is analogous to a person who tells his friend, Mechor li chamorcha, v'anosenu, v'naos lo lo licho, bahar u'bikva. Reuven says to Shimon, listen, Shimon, I would like to buy your donkey, but I want to check it out. I want to take it on a test drive. And if it's able to go in the valleys and in the mountains, and if it's a good donkey, then I will buy it from you. I want to test it out. I want to take a test drive. So that's what Reuven says to Shimon. If Shimon says, absolutely, take it for a test drive, the Omar, once Shimon says, sure, take it for a test drive, Reuven says, nah, it's not necessary. I just wanted to see if you'd let me take it for a test drive. Once I see that you're ready to let me take it for a test drive, you obviously are convinced that it's a good animal, and therefore I'll buy it from you. I don't need to test drive it. And that is what this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was intending. He heard Klai Yisrael say, we want to send spies. So if Moshe Rabbeinu had said no, then people would have said, oh, what's he hiding? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, sure, we'll send spies. And Moshe Rabbeinu was expecting them to say, oh, if you're allowing us to send spies, obviously you're convinced that the land is good. We don't need to have spies sent. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was actually hoping for. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't want to send spies. He used this in the hopes that Klai Yisrael would realize, since he's letting them send spies, they obviously don't need to send spies. And that's what it means. The pasuk continues, the Gemara continues, Vayitav Be'enai Hadavar. It was good in Moshe's eyes, because he thought that this would convince Klai Yisrael not to have to send spies. But Amar Rish Lakish, it was only Be'enai, Velo Be'enav Shemakom. Moshe Rabbeinu thought this, but Hashem knew. As the end of the Tosha San said, he says that Goli Lefonov, Hashem knew that it wouldn't work, that he knew that the Klai Yisrael would not be convinced by Moshe Rabbeinu's willingness to send spies. They would want to send spies, and those spies would end up doing terrible things. It would be a tovuli de takola. So that's why it was only good in Moshe's eyes, and it wasn't good in Hashem's eyes. I always love to mention the famous Kliyoker over here. Kliyoker says, Moshe Rabbeinu, shlach lecha anoshim, you on your own sent men. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I had chosen to send spies, I would have sent women, because women love the land of Eretz Yisrael more than the men. The women didn't sin with the chait of the eagle. The women didn't sin with the chait of the raglim. The women didn't die in the midbar. They all lived and entered into Eretz Yisrael. So you sent men, I would have sent women. Unbelievable kliyoker. Then the pasuk continues and says, Vayach birul anu esar retz. Moshe Rabbeinu said, we'll send those people in, and they will spy out the land for us. Amar b'chia baraba. Ruchi Barava said, Miraglim lo niskavnu ela lebosha shel Eretz Yisrael. The Miraglim, they never intended to do good. Their intention from the start was that they would report bad. And we see this from the word that the Miraglim went, v'yachbiru, kisiv hocha, v'yachbiru lonu esa aretz. We will spy out the land. The lashon of yachbiru is a bad lashon, because kisiv hosam, it also says the same word of chofra, v'yachbiru, in Yeshaya, where it talks about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hosam, the Chofra Halavana, the moon will be embarrassed, so to say, Ubo Shacham, and the sun will be embarrassed, Vegomer, that they will be worshipped. As the pasuk continues, Ki Molach Hashem Tzvakus, Bahar Tzion, V'Yushlaim, the Neged Zekin of Kobot, that people went and worshipped the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon will, so to say, be embarrassed. The people left HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go worship them. So this Lashon of Yachbiru is a Lashon of Busha. So the people had a negative intent when they originally went in to go spy the land. They intended to bring back a bad report. From the beginning, they were evil. Then the pasuk is darshin ve'elish mosam, and it tells us the names of all these 12 miraglim, and it tells us lamate Ruvain, Shemua ben Zakur, and it goes through all of the shvatim. And Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak says that these weren't their real names. Davrze Misoris Biodenu Miavosenu Miraglim Moshe Maseim Nikru. That these weren't the real given names of these miraglim, but their names were tied into the evil that they did. But we don't know all these names except for one. Also, Yodenu Elo Echad, the only one that we know. We have a Kabbalah that all of them had names that were based upon their deeds rather than their given names, but we only know one of them. And that one is from Shevet Osher, Sisur ben Michael. How do we darshan Sisur ben Michael? Sisur means Shesosar Maisov Shalakodish Baruch Hu, that he went against, Rashi says, Hichish, he weakened, he went against the Maisov HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the also Sono Shalakodish Baruch Hu Badoi, and he made Kaviyochel HaKodesh Baruch Hu into a liar. Hashem says, I give you a great land, and this person, Sisur ben Michael, Soser that, he went against that and said, no, Hashem didn't give us a great land, it's too strong a land, we won't be able to conquer it. And what does this mean, Ben Michael? What does the word Michael mean? Shasa atzmo moch. He made Kaviyochel HaKodesh Baruch Hu into a weakling. Kedamin l'kavon, afilu balabayis in yocholotzi kelim bisham. That HaKodesh Baruch Hu can't take out his own kelim from there. In other words, the anakim that are there, the tall people that are there, are too powerful. Even Rachmon HaLitzlan, Kavi against HaKodesh Baruch Hu, as if Kaviyochel, such a thing could exist. Okay, so Omer Rav Yochanan says, you're right, we don't have the Kabbalah anymore what the other names were, but we can guess some of them ourselves. Af Anu Nomar, we can figure it out ourselves. For example, Nachbi ben Vavsi from the Shevet of Naphtali. So Nachbi stands for Shehechbi Dvorish al HaKodesh Baruch Hu. He hid the word of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and as Rashi says, V'lo Amarin Kibo Shein, and he didn't tell the truth. And what does, when he calls him Nachbi ben Vavsi, what's the Vavsi? Shepisa amidosa shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu. As Rashi says, D-leg, he jumped over. D-leg shelo amoron kasher heim. He didn't tell them like they were. He stepped over them. In other words, he didn't tell the truth. Gemara continues in Darshins, Vayalu vanegev vayovo ad Hebron. They all, plural, went up in the south. Vayalu vanegev. But then it says, in the singular, vayovo, and only one of them went ad Hebron. So it starts off in plural form, vayalu, but then it goes to the singular, vayavo. Vayavo'u mibayle. It should have said, they all came to Hebron. So we have the famous drasha of Rava, Malamit Shapirish Kolev, that Kolev left Me'atzas Meraglim. He left from the terrible deeds that the Meraglim were going to do, and he went to Davin by the Moras HaMachpelah, where the Avos were buried, where Adam and Chava were buried. He went to ask their mercy to intercede with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his behalf and the schus of the tzaddikim that were buried there, that Hashem should help him. V'holach nishtateach al kivrei avos, he bowed down over there on the graves of the avos, and Amalei, he said to Avni Yitzchak Yaakov, Sarah Rivka and Leah, and he said, Abosai, bakshu alai rachamim, please daven on my behalf, sheinotzel me'atzas meraglim, that I shouldn't fall into the terrible plans of the meraglim, I shouldn't fall into the deins of the meraglim, and that I should be able to go and withstand the peer pressure of following what the meraglim do. This is a whole separate question. Can even the avos daven on our behalf? So when we go to a grave to daven, so we invoke the zechusim of the people, the tzaddikim that are buried there, but we never ever daven to those tzaddikim themselves. That would be avodah zarah, actually. But we are allowed, according to many, to daven that the tzaddikim themselves should go and daven on our behalf to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tosfos asks a question over here. The Gemara in Brachos seems to suggest that the tzaddikim and the Olam HaEmes don't know what's going on in this world, and Tosfos says that's a kasha on our Gemara. But others say no. The maskana of the Gemara in Brachos is that the tzaddikim do in fact know, and there are other tirutzim that are given here as well. But this is actually a source of great controversy as to what and how a person davens when he goes to kivrei tzaddikim. So everybody agrees that you're allowed to daven in the schus of the tzaddikim that are there, but you're always davening straight to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the only question is, can the tzaddikim or malachim ever be in interceders on our behalf, and that is a machlokus amongst the poskim. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, why didn't Yoshua go and daven in Hebron? Why only Kalev? So the Gemara says, Yoshua kvar bikesh Moshe ala rachmim. Yoshua had special tefillos for Moshe Rabbeinu for him, and therefore he didn't need to go to Hebron. Moshe Rabbeinu had already taken care of Yoshua. And Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea bin Nun Yoshua. Moshe changed Yehoshua's name from Hoshea to Yehoshua. The Gemara in Sanhedrin explains that he took the Yud from Sarai, when Sarai's name was changed from Sarai to Sora. There was an extra yud, and Moshe Rabbeinu took that yud and he added it to Hoshea to make Yehoshua. And the Arizal brings down that where you get the yeh, the shva that's underneath the yud, he said that came from Ben Nun, from Yeshua Ben Nun. He's always referred to as Yeshua Bin Nun. It's only a chirik underneath the bays. So the extra two dots from the segel that became a chirik, so those are the extra two dots of the shva that were put underneath the yud, Yehoshua Bin Nun. Very beautiful idea. In any event, Moshe Rabbeinu davened on behalf of Yeshua that he shouldn't fall to Beatzas Meraglim, and he said, Ka Yoshiacha Meatzas Meraglim. This extra yud that I'm adding onto your name, that's representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should save you from the Atzas of the Meraglim, from the terrible designs that the Meraglim had to go and spread Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to daven for Yeshua. Kalev was not davened for. Kalev had to go to Hebron. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu only daven for Yeshua? So the Keren Orah brings out a very interesting idea. He said all the other Meraglim had a shevet attached to him, and Moshe Rabbeinu felt that the shift they caught, the shevet that they came from, would protect them. However, Yeshua came from Ephraim, and Menashe went with Yosef, so therefore Ephraim didn't have a shevet, so to say, to go with him. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, so to say, took Yeshua under his wing, and he was the protector of Yeshua, whereas all the other Shvatim had their own Shevet to go and protect them. Furthermore, it says by Kalev that Yehuda was, of course, Kalev, and he had a Ruach Acheres Hayimo. That's because Yehuda stayed with him. So Kalev didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu's protection because Yehuda stayed with him. The other shift they caught left their bad Nisiyim, and therefore they were on their own, and Nebuch, they all sinned. The Ben Yehuda add that Yeshua was given the Ruach of Levi, since Yosef went with Menashe, so Ephraim therefore went with Levi. And Levi and Yehuda, they protected both Kalev and Yehoshua. Okay, Gemara continues and says, this is what the pasuk means, the Avdi Kalev, Kalev had his own spirit with him. In other words, he went to the Moreh Samapela to daven. As I said, Yehuda protected him, and Moshe, Levi, protected Yehoshua, and that's why they were able to not be falling into the atzas of the Meraglim. Then the pasuk continues and says, Visham, over there in Hebron, Achimon, Sheshai, Visalmai, Vigomer. Over there in Hebron were these giants. And you had three giants that are mentioned over here, the three being Achimon, Sheshai, Visalmai. Why were they given these names? Achimon means Miyumon Shebiachab. He was the greatest one. He was the right-handed one. We always use right to signify greatness. So he was the right-handed one of the three. Sheshai, Shemesim, Esaretz, Kish Chasos, he was so big and strong that when he stepped on the ground, he made it this shachas underneath there. He made these huge holes in the ground. And Talmai, why was he called Talmai? When he walked, he was also huge. Shemesim is Aretz, Tlomim, Tlomim. He made furrows in the ground because they were all so big and strong, so they made these depressions in the ground when they walked. Alternatively, Dover Acher, another reason why they were called what they were, Achimon, he built the city Bono Anos, and Sheshai, he built the city Bono Alush, and Talmai, he built the city Bono Talbush, and they were known as the Yelidei HaNak, they were the children of the giant, Shemanikin Chama Bekomasin. It meant that they were so tall that it looked like the sun was a necklace around their necks. That's how big they were, that the sun looked like a necklace around their necks. Then it said, the Hebron, the city of Hebron, Sheva Shonim Nivnisa. And the end of that pasuk, which we don't have even the Vegomer over here, is Lifnei Tzoam Mitzrayim, which is critical. I'm not sure why it was left out. We don't even have a Vegomer over here. So it says simply that Hebron seems to have been built Sheva Shonim Nivnisa before Lifnei Tzoam Mitzrayim. But this is problematic. What does it mean, my Nivnisa? Sounds like it means it was built, but that doesn't make any sense. Elaim, if you're going to tell me Nivnisa means Nivnisa Mamish, then it means it was built. So you're telling me that Hebron was built before Tzoan Mitzrayim? That doesn't make any sense, because Efshar Adam Bone Bayis Livno Katan, Kodu Nev Gadol? Does it make any sense that a person would build a house for his younger son before he builds a house for his older son? And how do we know which son was older? Because the pasuk tells us, Ubnecham, the children of Cham, were Cush, Umitzrayim. Mitzrayim is therefore older, Uput, Uchinan, that Kinan was the last son, was the fourth son. So it's very, very unlikely that Chum would build a house for his fourth son, Kinan, before he built a house for his second son, Mitzrayim. So how can you tell me that Hebron, which is in the territory of Kinan, would be built before the second son, Mitzrayim's city, would be built, before Tzoan of Mitzrayim would be built? Ella, the word nivdasa must mean as follows. Ella, sha'isa mivuna al echad mishiva b'tzoan. Ella, it means that it was built beforehand, but it was actually mivuna. We see this lashon of ulai ibonem mimena, that it will be fruitful. Like we find by the lashon when Sarah told Avraham Avinu to go and marry Hagar, ulai ibonem mimena, maybe you will become fruitful through her. So when it says over here the word nivnasa, so it tells us that nivnasa means that Hebron is more fruitful than Tzoan of Mitzrayim. Now, this is an amazing thing, because the Gemara now tells us, Ve'ein l'cho troshim b'chol Eretz Yisrael, there is no more rockier ground in all of Eretz Yisrael, Yosem Hebron. Hebron is the rockiest place in all of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Mishum dekavrei ba shichvi. That's why it was bedavk used for burial ground. That's why the Marach HaSem HaPel is there, because it wasn't fertile ground. It was a rocky terrain. And therefore, you wouldn't want to, quote, waste space there that could be used for crops, so they had to bury people someplace, so buried in the worst land of all in Eretz Yisrael, which is Hebron. And nevertheless, the Ein Lecha Mu'ula B'chol Ha'aretz Yosem Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim is considered the most fertile crescent, the most fertile place in the world. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Kigan Hashem, Keretz Mitzrayim, the garden of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was compared to the land of Mitzrayim. So you have the most fertile land in the world, that's Mitzrayim. You have the most rocky land in Eretz Yisrael, that is Hebron. And nevertheless, which was the most beautiful place of the most beautiful country, Mitzrayim, nevertheless, as the Pasuk says, that's where all the officers lived, implying that that's where the best land was. Nevertheless, Hebron was more fertile. The least fertile place in Eretz Yisrael was Mavuna Echad Mishiva B'tzoan. The least fertile place in Eretz Yisrael was seven times more fertile than the most fertile place in all of the most fertile country in the world. So Hebron, the worst, was seven times better than Tzoan, the best. And that's what the Pasuk means. The Hebron Sheva Shonim Nivnasa before Tzoan Mitzrayim. Lifnei Tzoan Mitzrayim, in terms of the greatness of its fertility, was seven times better than Tzoan. The Gemara says, really? The Hebron Turashim Havi? Hebron was a rocky terrain? Voxib, but the Pasuk says, Himi Kitz Arbim Shana. At the end of 40 years, Avshalom went to go and take care of his Naziris. He was a Nazir Olam. And Himi Kitz Arbim Shana, Vayomer Avshalom Elamelech. Avshalom told David, he was really going to rebel against him. He said, El Chanova Gomer, I will go and fulfill my Naziris vow that I said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I will go to Hebron. The Amar of Avya, Rav Avya said, what was he doing in Hebron? Others say, Vitema Rabba Bar Rav Chanan said, what was he doing in Hebron? Sha'alach lavi kivasim in Hebron. He went bedavka to get kivasim for his korbanos from Hebron, because Hebron had the best kivasim. Now, how do we know that? The Tanya, because the Brisa says, Elim mi Moav, if you want to get the best rams, go get them from Moav, and if you want to get the best lambs, kivasim, get them in Hebron. So how can you tell me that Hebron is a rocky terrain? You see that it's a great pasture land. That's where the best sheep were. So Moore says, no, that's exactly the proof. It was the best pasture land, but not the best crop growing area. Minah, from that idea that you're saying that Avshalom went to Hebron specifically to get kvasim because it was great pasture, but not great for crops. So I did the Kalisha Ara, since the soil there is not good for growing crops, so of the Raya, they used it for pasturing. It was very good for pasturing. Vishamein Kinyana. And therefore, the fatty calves were able to grow there very, very well. Okay. Nadigmor says, Vayeshuvu mitur aretz, the miraglim came back after they spent 40 days looking and searching throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. We turned to Laman Ham and Olive. Vayelchu, Vayavor, they came back to Moshe and Aaron. And the Gemara Darshins, Amar Yochanan, Mishum Rishum Yochai, Yochan said again in the name of Rishum Yochai, not directly, but heard it through his Rabbeim, Mekish Halich Labia. When they came back, it was the same way as when they went. So Ma Bia Beitzara, just like they came back with a bad intention, Af Halicha, when they went out, they went with a bad intention. Vayelchu vayavo, telling us that their thoughts were the same when they went out as when they came back in. When they came back in, they had bad thoughts, so it's telling us that even l'chatchila, they went there with bad thoughts. Now, we're in the middle of darshting some of this, but this is a good break point, where this will conclude today's shir.